And I know this, that I have to depend upon the power and the strength of another. Amen. And that is the comforter. That is the Holy Spirit of God. And he's there to help me in my tribulations, in my darkest moment, whatever I'm facing in my life, when I'm down, when I'm depressed, or what's coming about. He is right there.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello everyone. We pray that your day is going well, and we thank you for tuning in. On today's program, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Creation, Christian, Comforter. Now here's Pastor Bill.
You know, I've gotten to where I don't even like to watch the news or read the news anymore. I'm tired of hearing of another rape. I groan because of another senseless act of murder across our nation. I groan because I'm living in a city, Fort Worth. We're living in a city that now is a major hub for child sex trafficking. And it kills my spirit to know that there are people that have no conscience at all. None. And who could sell a little one? And I think, how could that be? How can someone become so numb to do that to a little defenseless child? And I groan in my spirit. And every time I hear the word Hillary, I'm joking. That wasn't the Holy Spirit, okay? But you know what may happen tonight, may happen tomorrow? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, Paul says, I'm going to tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. A sleep is a word used for the death of the believer. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There is a generation, we may be that generation, listen, that will never, ever experience death. If the rapture, the catching away of the church happens today, listen, we're not going to have a funeral. We're gone. We're changed. And the Bible says we're changed instantly, never to groan again. Listen, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, meaning the church age is over, loved one, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Suddenly, without warning. Can you imagine every believer in this world gone instantly and caught up into the air with the Lord, and forever we shall be with him. Hey, that's right. It's God's word. Verse 24. Now we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. That's okay. For why does one still hope for what he sees? In other words, it's obvious that we don't have our new bodies yet. Amen? Okay, that's what that's referring to. But if we hope for what we do not see, meaning our new bodies, we eagerly wait for it with patience or perseverance or endurance. See, this hope here is not some wishful thinking or I hope so. No, this hope is based upon the sure, steadfast promises of a God, our God, who cannot lie. Amen? That's what it's all about. We know it's going to be happening. Look at verse 26 now. It says, and likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps us, the Comforter, the divine helper of the church, of the Christian. He helps us how? In our weaknesses, in our moments of moral or physical or emotional weakness. Listen, the Holy Spirit helps you. That word in the Greek literally means one who comes and helps you carry the load. In other words, gives you a lending hand, just like our Lord said he would do. And it says he does so in our weaknesses. The Holy Spirit so sustains us. Some of you may be in a dark trial, going through a horrible time. Maybe your spouse left you or something, I don't know. Or maybe you're having trouble at home with yours, I don't know. And I know this though, that we all go through things that we wish we were not going through. And I know in my own strength, like Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. And I know this, that I have to depend upon the power and the strength of another. Amen? And that is the Comforter. That is the Holy Spirit of God. And he's there to help me. He's helped me in my tribulations, in my darkest moment. Whatever I'm facing in my life, when I'm down, when I'm depressed, or whatever it's coming about, he is right there. Now, but listen carefully. Let's be true to our context about these weaknesses. In context, he's speaking about the difficulty and our weakness that we may have in our prayer life. Look what it says. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We all know that we need to pray. But you know how difficult sometimes your quiet times are, right? And you struggle in your prayer time. You have your list. You have all the people. But we get to this one person and you go, okay, Lord, I've been praying. But you find yourself, but I don't really know how to pray for that person. Do you understand me? So you say, well, they're going through, say, a divorce. Okay, how do you pray for that? Lord, put them back together. Lord, oh, yeah. Well, how? How do you really pray? See, there's a certain way to pray where you're praying the perfect will of God. Did you know that? And you say, Lord, I don't know how to pray. I just know I needed to pray. But look what happens. Watch this now. But the Spirit himself, personally, the person of the Spirit of God who lives in us, it says, makes what? Intercession for us. He pleads on our behalf. He takes our prayers to God the Father. He pleads on our behalf. Intercession for us. And look at, how does he do it? With groanings. Creation groans, Christian groans, the Holy Spirit groans with groanings which cannot even be hardly spoken or can't even be uttered. In other words, this incredible, divine, wonderful intercession is going on when I say, oh, Father, I come to you this morning. I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I start praying, and then the Holy Spirit of God helps me to start forming my prayer the way it should be. Or do you understand why? I'm dependent upon him. I need the Holy Spirit to help me to pray. I don't know how I need to pray for everyone. I don't have all the answers. But I know who has all the answers. Do you understand? And I say, oh, God, I need your help here. So what happens? The Holy Spirit groans, the groaning of God, the divine articulations from the Holy Spirit to God the Father, the Trinity in action. And I look and I say, oh, God. And he, that means God. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Why? Well, because he makes intercession for the saints. How? According to the will of God. Not our will, but God's will. Are you with me? Now listen carefully. God has complete access, as you know, to every person's heart. Amen. Everything is open and naked before him. We can't hide one thing from God. But you know what? We come to the Lord and we're all messed up sometimes about issues. But God really looks at our heart. And he goes, that's not what he means. He's looking at it totally the wrong way. He doesn't really know how to pray. So the Holy Spirit comes in with these groanings inside. And we start moving because there's such a burden that comes upon us because God, the Holy Spirit, is sharing that burden with us. Do you know what an honor it is for the Holy Spirit of God to let you feel the way he feels when he is hurting? Well, Bill, the Holy Spirit doesn't hurt. Then you better read Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30 and following, because it says that the Holy Spirit can be vexed, can be saddened, can be grieved. Only a person can be grieved. And he's grieved or he's vexed and he's groaning. With groanings that cannot even be uttered, and sometimes you double over in prayer. You say, oh God, what are you doing? It's because the Holy Spirit understands and he's interceding to God the Father on your behalf for the perfect will of God to be done. We have the greatest prayer partner in all of the universe who helps me in my weaknesses, who helps you when you just can't seem to pray any longer. Spurgeon put it this way. He said, groanings which cannot be uttered are often prayers which cannot be refused. Whenever you read the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus there in John chapter 11, and Jesus is out of town, out of Bethany, and Lazarus, whom Jesus loved, and he loved Mary and Martha, loved to hang out with them and have dinner with them all the time. He was out of town, and Mary and Martha, they sent for him. Messenger said, oh, you know, Lazarus, he's dead. He's dying. Come quickly. And Jesus stayed and tarried 3 or 4 more days. And he finally got there, and Mary ran up to him and said, you know, Martha said, listen, if you'd only been here, you weren't here, but if you had only been here, Jesus, you know what? My brother would not have died. He says, Mary, listen, did I not tell you that if you would only believe, you'd see the glory of God. Did I not tell you that I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live? Mary, do you not know those things? Do you not believe those things? And they brought him over, and it says in John 11:33, and then when Jesus saw her weeping, and Jesus saw the Jews that came with her, they were weeping. You know what Jesus did? Listen carefully now. It says Jesus groaned in the spirit. That word, if you look it up in the Greek, that groaning, that overwhelming roar, if you will, and an intense feeling of deep, deep concern. And not only did he groan within him, but it says he was also troubled. That word in the Greek means he was shaken to the core, full with emotion. He was groaning in the spirit and troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid Lazarus?" Do you know that is the only place in the New Testament where Jesus asked for information? Where is he? Did Jesus know where he was? Yeah, you know where he really was? Lazarus was dead, yes, but he was where? He was in the bosom of Abraham, amen? He wasn't dead, he was alive. And he said, "Oh, where have you laid him?" And they said, "Oh, Lord, come and see." Well, listen, you know the story. He said to roll the stone away. You know, and Mary said, "Oh, no, Lord, you don't understand. He's been dead now 3 or 4 days, and he stinketh." You know what I'm trying to say? See, "Lord, we can't do that." He said, "Mary, did I not just tell you that if you would only believe that you would see the glory of God? If you would only just believe that." And you know, Jesus, who came from heaven, there's no tombs in heaven. There's no death in heaven. There's no sin or tears. And then 33 years upon this planet, what did he encounter? Hate, tears, agony, darkness in people's lives, horrible diseases, demons, and all the rest of it, and the horrible darkness because of the sin that was upon the people. And now what does Jesus do? He's standing there among his own creation on a world that he even created and sustains to this moment. And he started groaning and he started shaking with emotion. Why? Because he was hurting for them. Man, I don't know, that just always gets me. It touches me. He cares. He hurts. He feels. John 11:35, the next verse, a subject and a verb only, the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus what? Wept. God wept. Why? Because the sorrow from man filled his heart. And he wept before him. I always say, "Oh Lord, the one who made tears burst into tears, God wept." And I think, "Oh Lord, no wonder the writer of Hebrews said this in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest," meaning Jesus, "who's interceding for us even now. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses," not our sin. Our sins are forgiven. Who cannot sympathize? That word means, it means to be touched. It means that Jesus is touched. He feels with us. He feels our suffering. He feels our worry, our pain. He knows why people lie. He knows what causes a Christian to sin. He knows what it's like to be tempted, because he was tempted in all points, tested in all points, yet without sin. Amen? That's what that scripture says. You know, listen, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all of your care upon him, and God. Why? He careth for you. You know what? 16 years ago this month, October 22nd, 5 a.m. in the morning, I was preparing the text, this text from Hebrews 4:15 and 16 for the Sunday sermon. For 18 months, I had suffered from complete mental breakdown and depression. Nothing could help me, not one doctor, no one. It was to the point, for 18 months, I drove my wife crazy. I know she thought I was going to kill myself. That's how bad it was. The hopelessness that was in my heart and in my life. I would preach, I would leave, and I would go home, and I would sit in the same chair day after day after day. I had absolutely not 1 ounce of hope within me. Finally, I said, "I can't do this anymore." I was going to resign from the ministry because I couldn't take it. I couldn't stand up here and be doing this. I couldn't counsel with people and offer them hope when I had no hope. You hearing me? And I'll never forget. It was 5 a.m. and I read that scripture. "If you feel the way I feel, do you feel it?" I said, "Heal me." Whew. As God is my witness. There in that room, the hand of God touched my head. I was instantly delivered from chronic depression. After 18 months, listen, he feels, he knows what you're going through. And the only way I was able to make it was because of the Holy Spirit in me. I would come to the pulpit. I had all the strength I needed. I would lead the pulpit. I'd fall right back into it. The Holy Spirit of God, he loves you in your weakness, in your infirmity, whatever you're going through in your life. I'm telling you, you have the divine helper. He is right there with you. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. And I look and I say, oh, God, you're so good. You know, and I look at all this and I say to myself, oh, God, here we are in this world. We're all believers. We love you, Lord. And creation is groaning. The church is groaning. And, Lord, not only that, the Comforter is groaning. And creation is groaning because why? It wants to be released from the curse. I really want to be a tree, God. Well, you are a tree. No, you're just an earthly tree. You need to be a heavenly tree. Are you following me? To where all of a sudden we're going to be there and we're going to go, what is that? And the Lord will say, that's a tree. That's a tree? I mean, that's not what I've seen. No. Behold, all things are new. The curse is going to be gone. Listen about the curse. This is what creation is waiting for. Listen very carefully. In Revelation, the last chapter in verse 22, it says this. In verse 3, it says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. That's us, loved one. Not only that, watch this. We're going to see his face, and his name shall be on our foreheads, and there shall be no more night there, no need for a lamp, nor the light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's where we're going. That's what's going to happen in our lives. Listen, yes, we're groaning, and I'm groaning, and you're groaning, and there's something that happens when we start groaning. See, Christians groan because I say, I want out of this body. I do want that. I want what's promised, and we're waiting on that. And the Holy Spirit, it groans within us. Why? It wants to accomplish the will of God for your life, the plan of God for your life, changing your life, where you follow him, that you walk in the Spirit, that you live in the Spirit. That's what it's all about. Loved one, listen to me. True prayer is always the prayer that the Holy Spirit not only directs, but the Holy Spirit inspires. That's what it really means to pray. We need to pray in the Spirit. We need to pray in our normal whatever, but we need to pray, and we need to let the Holy Spirit do that for us. See, the Holy Spirit knows our needs and our wants better than we do. And there's so often I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. So I just pray God's will. Lord, this is your will. You said, Lord, about this would be your will for this in your word. You know, and the Bible says in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have that if we pray anything, 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 if we ask for anything, anything, according to his will, he hears us. The power of prayer, loved one, by the Spirit, is not in the one who prays it. It's in the one who hears it. Amen? And that's what we need to do and say, oh, God, help me. And when we pray and then we learn what God wants. Listen, the Bible tells us these 66 books. They tell us the known will of God. This is all we know is what's here. Amen? But we know that it's the truth. Well, you know, but that's the known will of God. We can find the known will of God. But you know what? Only when we start praying in the Spirit, building ourselves up on a most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, that's when we find out where the Holy Spirit assists us in the unknown will of God. For example, you know, where in the Bible can you go to and it says, do I take this brand new job? No? Okay. Well, if I take this brand new job, they want me to relocate my family to another state. Lord, is that what you want? Lord, you want me to go into all of the world? Great. Is there a specific part you'd like me to go into? Are you with me? Okay, see, how do you know that? How do you find that out? You start praying in the Spirit. You see, and it assists you in knowing the unknown will of God that you're seeking. Loved one, listen to me. This is the 21st century, and the 21st century church has turned, and they did it not in a mean way. They didn't mean to do that. Seminaries didn't mean to do this. They're faithful in what they do. Bible colleges didn't mean to do this. Pastors didn't mean to do this, but they've turned the Holy Spirit into a doctrine instead of a person. He's real. He's not some language. He's not a force. He's not an essence. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is God. We are the temple of God. He dwells in us. Amen? And I think, oh, God, listen, that's what do we need? Well, it's like the Spirit would say, you need to stop just learning doctrinal facts about me, but you need to know me. You need to say, well, I have all the facts. I know who this Holy is. No, you don't. You just have facts. Have you gnosko, experienced him? Have you heard his voice? Have you felt his leading? Have you felt the groaning? Knowing about him is not knowing him. You see, if you're not practicing the awareness that he's here, paraclete, alongside, happy, upon me, E-N in the Greek, in, living in me. The Holy Spirit has a voice. He desires fellowship with you. Fellowship meaning koinonia, meaning intimacy, meaning communication. He desires to lead you. He desires you to live in the Spirit. There needs to be a groaning come back to the church where the things of this world that are occurring make us groan because the Holy Spirit is groaning too. Every time a person that is lost, that's not saved, there's a groaning. Oh, how we need to come back to that and live in that. I tell you, I hear it. I hear a groaning. Come to Christ. I hear the Comforter pleading, come to Christ. Let me close with the last invitation given in the Bible from Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. John the Apostle says, and the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's us, the church, they say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely, meaning that gift of eternal life, amen, that Jesus purchased for us on the cross. The last invitation, God never gives up, even to the very end of the last book of the Bible, the last invitation, come, take it, it's all free. You don't know Christ. I tell you, you need to come to him. You need to come to him while there is time. And I tell you that I know in my heart the Holy Spirit is making you so uncomfortable because he is there right beside you because he wants you saved if you're not saved. And you that are listening live, sitting in your car, sitting in your couch, wherever you might be, I tell you, he wants you saved. And I know you feel uncomfortable. And you know why? The devil doesn't want you to be saved. So as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you've never said, Lord, save me, then I ask you right now to come to him. He's pleading with you. Come to me. You say, Bill, how do I do that? By simply praying this prayer and believing it in your heart. If you don't know the Lord, you pray this prayer with me right now. And Christians, you help me pray it too. Say, Father, I want you to save me. I want you to be my Lord. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. You promised if I would pray that prayer and believe it, you would save me. I believe. Jesus, be my Lord. I'm saved. In Jesus' name.
Pastor Bill's Romans series will continue on our next broadcast, and we hope you'll tune in once again. Amen? Hey, and thanks for listening today. We pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.